the demons went out walking, the Savior for to see.
He wanted to
be free from sin.
Be free from sin.
And then the Master spoke so gently, these words that have no end. Gates of glory, hear the Master say, come in.
Oh, you must be born again.
Are you ready to meet the Savior when he comes to take his bride?
Oh, you must be born again. Oh, you must be free from sin.
When you raise the gates of glory, hear the Master say, come in.
Hebrews 11 and 32. Notice what he says. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also. Don't you notice that? Of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith, notice this, what did they do? Through faith subdued kingdoms. They put them under their feet. Wrought righteousness. Obtained promises. Stopped the mouths of lions. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. Wrought righteousness. Obtained promises. Stopped the mouths of lions. Quenched the violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of aliens. They did all these things through faith. Notice what he said in verse 32. He mentioned the name of David. That's who I want to talk to you about tonight. Look over in 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. Got a little bit of reading here to do, lay the groundwork. He said, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah and Ephesdamim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side. Now get the picture in your mind. And Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. Both of them were on mountains and there was a valley in between. Anytime you find two mountains, there's always a valley between two mountains. He says, and there went out, verse 4, there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. To the best of my study, that's 9.5 feet. From what I understand, a cubit was roughly about 1.5 feet. You do the math, that gives you 9 feet. And a span was about 6 inches. And so that's the length of a hand. A span was about the length of a man's hand. And so that's about 6 inches. If you just, for your information, if you'll measure from the tip of your finger to the tip of your elbow, that's about 18 inches too. You ever know that? You want to check it out sometime. Anyhow. So he says here, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He was about 9.5 feet tall. In verse 5, he says, and he had a helmet, and helmet of brass upon his head. And he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. Did anybody catch anything about those two verses? Goliath had the brass, didn't he? Huh? Goliath had the brass. But if you study your Bible, you'll find out that brass is a type, or usually denotes in the Word of God, that denotes the works of man, is what it usually looks at. When you see brass. Now he says here, and he gave, or in verse 7, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are you come out against you to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? You see, he wasn't looking at them as being to God's people, but he was looking at them as servants to Saul. You got to remember something. Saul stood head and shoulders above all the other men of Israel. I don't say this night, it was Saul's place to be out there fighting that giant. Amen. He should have been the one out there. Because he probably run about 7 or 7.5 feet tall. He was probably the biggest man in Israel at that day. So Saul should have been the one out there, and he was the leader, amen. And he says right here that this Philistine got out and began to mock, or to begin to talk to Israel and run his mouth and all of his chatter. I like to call it lip service. You ever seen anybody gives you lip service? I mean, they say everything. They run their mouth, but they ain't got nothing to back it up. Amen? He says here, choose you a man, verse 8. Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. Now, that's a bold-faced lie, because when Goliath got killed, they took off and run. Yes, didn't none of them come and say, okay, we'll be your servants? He says, but if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants, and shall serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. That was bold, wasn't it? Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed. Notice this. And greatly afraid. They were dismayed or confused or bewildered, not knowing which way to turn.
Yes, sir.
You ever been in a position where something was so big? And I'll be honest with you, I don't know. I won't be dogmatic about the size of this man. I'm just going on what I've learned through the years. But what I'm saying is, when you get something that's so much bigger than you are, and it's talking to you, and it's telling you that you can't do it, and you can't be successful.
Come on.
There's no way that you're going to make it through. There's no way that you can do anything with it. And when you look at it with your eyes, it appears that way.
Yes, sir.
And you say, well, that's what I'm hearing in these little voices in my head.
Yeah.
And why? When I look at it, that's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah.
I don't see no way around it.
Come on.
I don't see no way over it. I sure don't see no way under it, amen. I guess there ain't but one thing to do, and that's to go through it.
Yes, sir.
I'm afraid most people, and I shouldn't say most people, but a lot of people, will end up turning and running from it, amen. Now, God's blessed me, and I'm not bragging on me, but God's always blessed me, and you can ask anybody that knows me. I face up to my problems most of the time. unless it's something to do with me personally, and then I don't like to face it. But most of my problems, if something comes my way, I work my way through it. And God's blessed me that way. And there's a lot of you the same way. God will bless you to be able to just kind of work your way through your problems, and you don't let anything hold you back, and you just go on, amen. I want to say this, none of us do that without Jesus Christ as our Savior, amen. None of us can do anything because Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Amen, that's right. So here we find Israel. They're looking at this 9.5-foot tall giant here. And no doubt this man, he thinks he's such all that, so to speak. He's got the brass, we said. And we find out that he begins to run his mouth to Israel. And he said, you bunch of peons serving that man called Saul. Saul didn't have a thing in the world to do with Israel where they was at. It was the God of Israel that was going to do something, amen. But then we begin to read in the next few verses, and I'm not going to take time for the sake of time tonight. I'm not going to read it all, but I encourage you to do it when you get home sometime. Read through all of this because I'm going to try to skip through so we're not spending so much time here. But you find out then the Bible introduces somebody else to us. Of course, he's already been in the Scripture before this. There was a young man by the name of David. Which was just a little shepherd boy. As a matter of fact, I believe Saul referred to him in some previous scriptures as a stripling.
Yeah.
Who is this stripling? Well, as a matter of fact, here in this text, he refers to him as a stripling. Yeah. Well, that's Old Testament Hebrew for a young man or a young boy.
Yeah.
Amen? And so we find out that he wouldn't really, when everybody else looked at him and when we would have looked at him,
yes,
he wouldn't really have amounted to a whole lot. Amen?
Yeah.
Why, he's just a shepherd boy. Herding sheep over there, that's where he needs to be. Why, that's a good place for him. He can't get hurt doing that. He won't hurt himself out there watching those sheep. And everything will be all right and he'll be okay. But then God brings him on the scene here. His daddy, Jesse, tells him, he says, son, he said, I want you to go over there and I want you to go to the battle where the boys are at. Now, Jesse had his three oldest boys had linked up with Saul. Now David knew Saul because, as a matter of fact, in the previous chapter, we find out that Jesse had sent Saul. As a matter of fact, David at this particular point, listen to me, this is key to this whole chapter. David in the previous chapter was anointed king over Israel. Did you know that? As a young boy. He was anointed king by Samuel over Israel. Saul had the kingdom stripped from him. He was no longer the king of Israel. Maybe he was in position, but in God's eyes, he wasn't the king of Israel anymore because he had disobeyed God. But we find out here that God came along and sent Samuel over to the house of Jesse and said, I want you to anoint that one of his boys. Well, you know the story. They all passed before him. He says, none of them. He said, well, I got one more little boy out there in the field. He's out there watching the sheep. He said, go get him. And so he anointed him as the king of Israel. And then when the Bible tells us that there was an evil spirit that came from the Lord. Now, please don't expect me to explain all of that. I don't understand all that completely, and that's not the message tonight, so I'm not going to get off on all that. But there was an evil spirit that came from the Lord and settled upon Saul, and that all those around Saul said, we've got to get somebody that can play an instrument and that can calm him down. And so they sent for David, and David went, and that's where he brought his harp. And every time that evil spirit would come to him, he would come and he would begin to play, and it would calm Saul's spirit down. And he wouldn't start beating and thrashing on the servants anymore, amen. And everybody was all for that, and the whole house said amen, amen.
Yes,
and so so that's what he did. But then we find out, I don't know exactly how much time passed here. It couldn't have been a whole lot of time, maybe a year or two, I'm not sure. But anyway, we find out that there came a time when David went back home to his daddy. The war began, and those three older boys of Jesse's went to the army and went into the army of Saul, and David came home back to his daddy.
And when he came back home to his daddy, he began to watch the sheep in the field. Well, then that brings us up to where we're at now, where the war was in place and the Philistines were coming against Israel. And here he was. Jesse said, son, go down there and check on the boys and see how they are and take this cheese to them. Amen. I want you to take all this here. And I believe he took them some corn. I believe he took them some bread too, if I'm not mistaken. But anyhow, we find out that he went down there and he began to talk to him. That's where we pick up in verse number 20. Let's read this. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper. Now, whether you know it or not, that's a type of Christ. Was he not the good shepherd that left the 90 and the 9 and went to get the one? Amen. He's a type of Christ. He's being sent by the Father and he's leaving these over here to go do that. Amen. Amen. He said he rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of the armies. The Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. The same words were spoken over here in verses 7 or verses number 8 when he began to talk to him there. He says right here, according to the same words, and David heard them.
Yes, sir.
David heard what he was saying. And the men of Israel, verse 24, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid. I want to say this tonight. You know, a lot of people that I know, whenever they see the rest of the crowd running from a problem, they start running too.
Yes, sir.
But I admire David tonight because even though everybody else was going and saying, hey, we've got to get out of here. We've got to leave. This guy's going to kill us.
Yep.
Hey, we're not going to fool with this man. We're just going to give his thing up. We're not going to fool with it anymore. We'll just shut her down and go to the house. David said, hang on just a minute, amen.
Yep.
He said, wait just a dead burn minute. I don't think that's where we ought to go at all, amen.
Yep.
I believe this young man was a little outspoken, if you ask me. I believe he was. I believe right here he spoke up because he had something in his heart. I believe with all of my heart when he began to hear that old Philistine rile against the armies of Israel and against the God of Israel, I believe it stirred something down inside of him. This was that part of David that the Bible said was a man after God's own heart. He was a man after God's own heart. Amen. And that part of him began to get stirred up inside of him when he saw that his brethren were willing to just throw it all away and just go back to the house and hand it all over to the Philistines and not do anything about it and just say, there it is, take it. No, David said, hang on just a minute. There's something else that needs to be done here. Amen. Look what he said, verse 25. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Have you seen him? David, have you seen that man?
Yeah.
Ain't that just like a bunch of backslid Christians? They'll jump up and say, well, you just can't do that. Well, I ain't going to be able to do that. I can't do that. And they'll say, well, hadn't you seen my problem? Yeah, sure, I've seen it. But better than that, thank God, there's one bigger than me that's seen it. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He said, have you seen that man, this man that has come up? He says right here, surely to defy Israel is he come up. Notice that. They addressed Israel as Israel. Later on we find out David addresses Israel as the armies of God. You see, the men of Israel had their eyes on Israel. Amen? The men of Israel were looking at what Israel could do.
Yeah.
Man, how many times have I done that preaching? How many times have I done that trying to do anything?
Yes.
Look and see what I can do. See what I can do with the strength of my own hands. And see what I can get done with my knowledge and what I have. Listen, friend, when we come at it, we approach it that way, we're going to fail every time. Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's what the problem was in Israel. Israel was looking unto Saul, their leader. They were looking unto themselves. They were looking unto each other. And that was not going to get the job done. They needed to look unto God. Amen.
Amen.
People say, well, if all else fails, I'll pray. No, you ought to be praying before everything fails. Amen. And you might not suffer so much failure.
Amen.
Amen. That's exactly right.
Amen.
Notice what he said. Verse 25. Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. There was the reward. Now look at verse 26 with me. This is where this really starts getting good. Verse 26, he says, and David spake to the men that stood by him. Now I want you to remember something. This was a young boy.
Yes, sir.
A young man. He might have been a teenager. He may have been 17, 18 years old. I'm not 100% sure. Exactly. I mean, with some study, I could probably find out. But what I'm saying tonight, right now, I'm not certain, and I'm not going to say one way or the other until I found it out. But we know that he was a young man, a young boy. And here he was, and we see by the reaction of his older brothers, he was not well received. But he was not about to let that deter him.
Amen.
He didn't, hey, even though Israel had said, okay, have you seen this man? He said, hey, anybody, the king Saul has done made a declaration, anybody that kills that man, he can have one of his daughters, and then he can also have his family free in Israel, amen. He said he can have anything he wants, amen. That's a pretty good reward too, by the way. So look what he says. Now David comes up, verse 26. David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? Amen? Look, he was instructing him. Now, whether they knew it or not and whether they accepted him or not, listen to me carefully. He was addressing them as a king.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He was addressing them as a king. Because God Almighty had already put him in as the king.
Yes, sir.
Now Saul might have been filling the position.
Amen.
Saul might have been sitting up there behind the throne.
Yeah.
Saul might have been calling the shots.
Yeah.
Saul might have been sitting up there doing his thing and running things, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
But God had already anointed little David.
Yes, sir.
God had already said, David, you're the king.
Yeah.
And so here's his first, what would you call it? State of the Union address. He's telling all of Israel now, he's talking to these men, and he's telling them as a king. He's the king. Whether they believe it or not, or whether they accept it or not, he was the king of Israel. Because God had done anointed him. Amen? Notice this. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? I want you to notice what he said. Now, it is important how we say things and what we say. Because I believe, now we know these words right here were God breathed, amen? And I believe with all of my soul tonight, I believe God was breathing right through David. And David, whether or not he understood the full validity of everything, maybe he didn't. But I believe God was speaking right through David right there as he was addressing those Israelites, as he was talking to them and trying to encourage them and saying, don't give up. I want you to go forward. This Philistine, this uncircumcised Philistine, he was reminding them that this was a lost man that did not know God, that did not have anything on God, that did not have anything on the children of God. I want you to know tonight, hey, I want to remind every one of us tonight that this world's got nothing on me. This world's got nothing on you. Amen. Here he is. He begins to talk to him. And he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He could have said, who's this man? Said, who is Goliath anyway? He didn't say that. He could have just said, who's this Philistine? He didn't say that. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? That rung a bell with Israel. because they knew the law and what it said about being circumcised.
Yes.
And they knew about Abraham being circumcised. And they knew that to be an Israelite, you had to be circumcised. And that was something that they took very seriously. And when he looked up and said, this man's not even been circumcised. Why are you worrying about him anyway?
Yes,
look what he said. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy, notice this, the armies of the living God? He didn't say Israel. He said the arm that he should listen to him. Listen to his language.
Come on.
He should defy.
Yeah.
One thing I guess, and I probably overreact sometimes, and one of the things that'll probably get my goat quicker than anything is when my children defy me.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing if they mess up and do something wrong, I probably won't get near as mad.
Yeah.
I probably won't get near as hateful with them. Probably won't near, be near as hard on them. But boy, when they defy their daddy, or that defy their mama, that sets off a fire inside of me.
Yes, sir.
Now I try not, I don't whip my children when I'm mad. I don't. You might whip yours when you're mad, and that's between you and God. I'll let God work that out in your heart. But I don't whip my children when they're mad. They think I'm mad, but I'm not. Here he was. He said, who's this uncircumcised Philistine that has come to defy the armies?
Yes, sir.
This rebellious, this man that has come up against the armies of the living God.
Yes, sir.
Now listen to the language he's using there. You know what David's doing? He's speaking with authority. Remember, this is a young boy. A stripling, Saul called him. Young stripling. Matter of fact, Saul come up and said, who is that young stripling anyway? Who is that boy? Listen, he said right here, who is he? He said to defy the armies of the living God. Where do you reckon his confidence was at? I believe his confidence was in God, wasn't it? Hey, man. I believe he was looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of his faith, don't
yes,
you?
Sir.
Amen. Hey, this was a man after God's own heart, amen.
I've fled this brother, hallelujah, I am home. There with my dear Savior, never more to roam. And I'll sit with my father, mother, sister, and my brother. When I reach my home up there. Shake the hands with friends of old while I sing along with angels praises to my dear Lord. Let the bells of heaven ring, hallelujah, I am free. Thank you, O Savior, I'll live eternally.
And there'll be shouts.
I'll clap this brother, hallelujah, I am home. There with my dear Savior, never more to roam. And I'll sit with my father, sister and my brother.
When I reach my home up there. And there'll be shouts
of gladness, brother.
Hallelujah, I am home. There with my dear Savior, never more to roam. And I'll sit with my father, mother, sister, and my brother.
When I